Hello, and thank you for listening to this episode of the Isms and Schisms podcast. We are continuing our little series of Christmas specials in the lead up to that most festive day. If I've got my timing right and there are no technical hiccups, which is not guaranteed, this episode should be coming out on the 12th of December, 2 weeks before Christmas Day, on the 25th of December. But why is Christmas celebrated on the 25th of December? Why, of all of the days of the year, was that the day that was chosen? The New Testament doesn't tell us when he was born, doesn't provide any specific dates. Jesus's Wikipedia page doesn't give us a date either. And actually, not many Christians of the early church celebrated the birth of Jesus. And when, or if they did, they celebrated it on different days of the year. Unraveling it all is fascinating. It's really interesting how and why we ended up with the 25th of December. So let's explore why that date was chosen. Figuring out why Christmas is celebrated on the 25th of December is actually quite difficult. It's a real tangle of traditions and sources and ideas. But first, I want to clarify that Christmas is not just one day. The 25th of December is just the first day of Christmas. Christmas is technically celebrated for 12 days, finishing on the 6th of January, which is Epiphany, commemorating when the Magi visited Jesus. So you can leave your Christmas tree set up for a little bit longer if you want. You don't need to take it down on Boxing Day. The practice of celebrating Jesus' birth was very diverse at first and was not practiced by everyone. But there were some who celebrated Christmas as early as the 2nd century. And then in the 3rd century, it became a big topic of discussion in some parts of the Christian world, but some notable theologians actually did not even mention Christmas, such as Irenaeus and Tertullian. Possible dates of Jesus' birth included August, May, or April. But by the 4th century, the date had settled on the 25th of December. But it was mainly celebrated in the West. The East took a little longer to jump onto the Christmas bandwagon, or should I say, the Christmas sleigh. Instead, they celebrated Jesus' baptism. But by the end of the 4th century, Antioch was celebrating the birth of Jesus, and then Alexandria a short time after. In 567, the Council of Tours declared the season of Christmastide, the 12 days of Christmas, to be sacred. The 25th itself became increasingly significant as various rulers were crowned on that day. Charlemagne, Edmund the Martyr, and William I of England were crowned on Christmas Day. The symbolism, of course, being the arrival of a great king and the dawn of a new era. King Richard II held a Christmas feast in 1377, and over the years it grew in prominence as a time to eat, sing, and dance. King James I of England, a man who loved the theatre to the absolute horror of the Puritans of the time, insisted that a play be performed on Christmas night. The Puritans were not fans of Christmas, believing it to be too Catholic, and even related to the beast of Revelation. But the Anglicans of the time wanted more Christmas and bigger feasts and celebrations. So this tension between the two grew. Until the English Civil War and King Charles I was executed and the Puritans took control and they banned Christmas. That might have been enough to send me to the New World. Oliver Cromwell did his thing, and for about a decade, England existed not as a monarchy, but as a republic. But it didn't really work out, and King Charles's son, also Charles, became king, and he ended the ban on Christmas in 1660.
Ho, ho, ho! Merry Christmas!
But in the American colonies, Christmas was not really observed, and the 25th of December was a day like any other. Puritan pilgrims opposed Christmas because it wasn't explicitly instructed in the Bible, and because of all of the drinking and dancing and all the fun that would normally be a part of the celebrations. And while we shouldn't be too harsh on the Puritans, it's not that difficult to tell why they got the reputation of being buzzkills. I mean, they are literally the Grinch. Only hairy green monsters would cancel Christmas. Of course, places like Virginia and Pennsylvania, colonies that had little to no Puritan presence, celebrated Christmas freely. But then Christmas did fall out of favor following the American Revolution because Christmas was seen as more of an English tradition. And then after the French Revolution, when all things Christian were outlawed in France, Christmas was banned in France. But then Christmas took off again in the 19th century, closely connected to the ideas of family, generosity, and giving gifts. Special attention was given to caring for the poor. It was during this time that Charles Dickens started writing about Christmas, and then it really took off. Dickens basically shaped modern Christmas. Carols were written, Santa came along at some point, Christmas trees and lights were more of a thing, and it spread across the globe. But why is it celebrated on the 25th of December? Well, actually, it's not celebrated on the 25th in all traditions. Various Eastern and Russian traditions follow the older Julian calendar for religious festivals. This was the calendar set by Julius Caesar in 46 BCE. It's a pretty good calendar, but was very slightly off. The Julian calendar calculates the length of a year to be 365.25 days. So every 4 years there is a leap year. However, by the 16th century, they realized that Easter was being celebrated about a week too late. So Pope Gregory XIII demanded a new calendar, which he named after himself, of course. And in the Gregorian calendar, the Earth revolves around the Sun in 365.2425 days, which is a stupid number, but that's just what it is. And that's the calendar we follow today. Instead of having a leap year every 4 years, we have a leap year every 4 years only if that year is divisible by four, or isn't divisible, I don't actually really know. If I'm completely honest, I did not know that until just now. But also, I don't really pay much attention to the date. I just look at my phone to tell me what the date is whenever I need to sign a document. I don't remember the last leap year. I'm sure we had one, I just don't remember it. But in any case, within the Julian calendar, there is an extra 3 days every four centuries, which is not really much, but it does mean that Christmas this year, 2023, is celebrated in some Eastern traditions next year on the 7th of January. And this is blowing my mind right now. From what I gather, the reason these other Christian churches did not accept the Gregorian was because A, the 1500 years of Christian tradition, including Jesus's life and the major councils, etc., all happened according to the Julian calendar. And B, it was probably unlikely that the East would simply adopt whatever the West was doing, especially when it was named after the Pope himself. That would have been a pretty bitter pill to swallow. Apparently, there's an even more accurate calendar, the revised Julian calendar. According to Wikipedia, it's basically the same as the Julian, except that years divisible by 100 are not leap years, except that years with remainders of 200 or 600, when divided by 900, remain leap years. And I have no idea what I just said. There is way too much mathematics going on. Some of these Eastern traditions have adopted this new calendar and so celebrate on the 25th of December. But then the Coptic and Ethiopian churches celebrate Christmas on the 28th of December, following the Coptic and Ethiopian calendars respectively. There has already been way too much discussion on calendars in this episode, so let's just move right on. Most traditions follow the 25th of December, so let's explore why that date is the day. There's a handful of traditions concerning the 25th, a number of different theories to explain why that date was chosen. One has to do with the date of winter solstice in the Northern Hemisphere. This is the shortest day of the year, and so each day after that grows slightly longer. Lots of ancient cultures from all over the world celebrated this day, and some connected the day to various sun gods because it was the date that the sun began its return. Some Christians connected Jesus to the sun, the S-U-N, as in the big hot ball of fire, not just the S-O-N, sun, because Jesus was the light of the world. The 4th century theologian Augustine said,
"Hence it is that he was born on the day which is the shortest in our earthly reckoning, and from which subsequent days begin to increase in length. He, therefore, who bent low and lifted us up, chose the shortest day, yet the one whence light begins to increase."
Of course, it's only the shortest day for half of the world, but Augustine didn't know that at the time. In Roman tradition, the 25th of December was winter solstice, even though technically winter solstice is the 21st or 22nd. And the Romans knew this, but when Julius Caesar implemented his own titular calendar, they continued to celebrate the older tradition of the 25th. And oh my gosh, there is way too much calendar discussion in this episode. The Roman festival that celebrated the birth of Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun, on winter solstice 25th December, capped off a week-long festival called Saturnalia, which included giving one another gifts. The Roman tradition of gift-giving may have influenced the Christian tradition of giving gifts at Christmas, but gift-giving already was a central part of the Christmas message, seen in the Magi giving gifts, but also, theologically, the incarnation was seen as a gift from God to humanity. So the giving of gifts was a pretty reasonable way of celebrating the day, whether it was a Roman tradition or not. John Chrysostom, in the 4th century, said,
"They call it the birthday of the unconquered. Who, indeed, is so unconquered as our Lord? Or if they say that it is the birthday of the Son, he is the Son of Justice."
In other words, their sun god is a parody of the real thing, which is the Son of God, Jesus. However, it has been argued that the Roman Emperor Aurelian, who was emperor toward the end of the 3rd century and so Christianity had not yet been legalized, moved the festival of Sol Invictus, which is actually called Dies Natalis Solis Invicti, to the 25th of December, actually to compete with the Christian celebration of Christmas. Even though Sol Invictus, the unconquered sun, was actually a Syrian god, Aurelian sought to unite the empire under a single god without replacing all the other gods, and so elevated this particular god. In other words, the Christians were already celebrating on the 25th, and the Romans moved their festival to the 25th to replace Christmas. The problem is, however, that very little information exists about this particular festival, and it's not entirely clear why Aurelian chose the 25th of December to dedicate a newly built temple to Sol. Possibly because that was winter solstice, not an uncommon day to celebrate solar deities. There is logic here, But there's not really any data to support the argument that this date was chosen to compete with Christmas. We don't really have much evidence of either Christmas or the festival of Sol Invictus before this date. So it's kind of a chicken and an egg thing. It wasn't until another half century or so, in the year 336, when the Emperor Constantine decreed that Christmas be celebrated on the 25th of December. This isn't to say that Christmas hadn't previously been celebrated on that date, but now it was formalized. And this is the first concrete piece of evidence of Christmas being celebrated on this particular date. But Constantine is a tricky fellow. He ostensibly converted to Christianity after the Battle of the Milvian Bridge and was the first emperor to legalize Christianity in the Edict of Milan in 313. However, the extent to which he was truly committed to Christ is difficult to figure out. He suppressed some of the practices of other Hellenistic religions. He built churches, convoked the first ecumenical council, and began the process of formal canonization of the Bible. Sounds pretty good. However, he still technically permitted other religions and even continued to build structures dedicated to other gods. He didn't really incorporate Christian symbolism into any of his great projects, but he did make dedications to the likes of Apollo, Diana, and Hercules. The coins he issued included images of Sol Invictus. So the point there is that it's likely, if not probable, that rather than converting to Christianity and then just getting rid of everything else, Constantine instead simply incorporated the Christian God into the great pantheon of Roman belief. In other words, Jesus became just like all the other gods, one among many. Greco-Roman religion was very syncretic like that. As the empire expanded, so did the number of gods, as new people and new religions came into the Roman fold. Hence, it is possible that Constantine did the same thing with Christmas. He joined them together. If you're going to worship the unconquered sun and Jesus, why not just celebrate their birthdays at the same time? It seems Constantine did that in lots of other instances, putting Jesus right next to the other Roman gods in the form of statues and coins and things like that. So it is possible that he did the same with Christmas. Winter solstice was also the date when the birth of another god named Mithras was celebrated. Mithras was an Iranian deity and possibly had Zoroastrian roots. And I bet you weren't expecting to hear about Zoroastrianism 2 weeks in a row on what are supposed to be Christmas specials. But in any case, Mithras was associated with the sun and light and became popular amongst Roman soldiers. Another theory or tradition is dating Jesus' conception to the 25th of March, which is spring equinox, and the Annunciation, the day that Mary was told she would have a baby. 9 months after that is the 25th of December, and so that is why Christmas is celebrated on that day, according to this theory. Early Christians celebrated everything on the 25th of March, because it was roughly equivalent to the date of Passover. Tertullian celebrated Easter on this date. There was also a Jewish tradition that great men died on the day of their birth. If Jesus died at Passover, as the Gospels say, then he was born on Passover 30-odd years earlier. Or he was conceived on that day. The latter became the tradition. All the Passover smells of bitter herbs, matzo balls, and apricots just got the romance in the air. And so Jesus was conceived. But there's another similar theory. The Christian historian Sextus Africanus in the year 221 suggested that the 25th of March was the day creation came into being, largely due to it being the spring equinox. Hence, it makes sense that Jesus was conceived on that day. Well, some sort of sense, at least. So far as determining the actual historical date of Jesus' birth goes, neither of these are great reasons. Great men dying on their birthday, first day of creation being spring equinox, sound just a tad superstitious, and perhaps a little northern hemisphere-centric. Plus, pregnancies actually last a little longer than 9 months on average. The 6th of January would probably actually be a little bit more accurate. But regardless, it is true that Africanus believed these traditions and so put Christmas on the 25th of December. It has been suggested by some that the appearance of the angels to the shepherds watching their flock by night in the Gospel of Luke might suggest that Jesus was born in the warmer months rather than in December when it would be cold. But the truth is that the shepherds would watch their flocks at all times of the year. It's not like wolves and other predators just stopped eating when it was cold. Pre-Christian Germans celebrated a winter festival called Yule in late December and January. It's not exactly clear what this period of time commemorated or celebrated because much of our knowledge of Germanic or Norse practice and belief come through a very Christian lens. But it probably has to do with the Norse deity Odin and involved feasting. It might have had something to do with ancestral veneration. There also seems to have been a practice of swearing oaths on a holy pig and then sacrificing that pig. As the German tribes became Christian, either by choice or otherwise, the Yuletide traditions mixed with Christmas traditions, and some of those traditions have survived to today, especially in Northern Europe. It's quite possible that the tradition of a roast ham on Christmas stems from this Yule pig. That's Christmas in December, but what about Christmas in July? For those of you listening to this episode in the Northern Hemisphere, such as my faithful few listeners in Germany, Danke schön, the idea of celebrating Christmas in July might seem very weird. But when it's 43 degrees Celsius, which is about 110 Fahrenheit, you don't really want a big hot meal with mulled wine and Santa costumes. Well, that's not entirely true. I could go a roast ham, apple pie, and mulled wine any time of the year. But the point is that the traditions normally practiced in the Northern Hemisphere when it's cold don't really translate to an Australian summer. So some people like to have a Christmas party in July when it's a little bit colder. We still don't get snow, though. The practice actually began in the United States, but it's quite popular in Australia. But then again, Australians tend to take any excuse to justify beer-fueled revelry. The founder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Joseph Smith, dated Jesus' birth to the 6th of April, a date accepted by many within the church. I searched for why this particular date was chosen, and I couldn't find any explanation. If there is a logical explanation and evidence to support this date, it's hidden deep within the interwebs. If there is evidence, I would genuinely be interested to see it. But the LDS Church did officially begin on the 6th of April in 1830. So my skeptical mind supposes that that date was chosen for Jesus' birth so that it coincides with the birth of the church, to imbue that date with extra significance, even though it seems to be completely arbitrary. Nevertheless, they still celebrate Christmas in December. So what should we make of this? Why was the 25th of December chosen? The four main theories we've covered include 1. Jesus is the light of the world, and so it makes sense to celebrate him on the traditional day to celebrate the sun, which is winter solstice. 2. Constantine united the birth of Jesus with the birth of Sol Invictus to draw the Christian god into the Roman pantheon. 3, to coincide with the celebration of the sun god Mithras. 4, 25th of December is 9 months after the apparent date of Mary's Annunciation, dated to the 25th of March, either because that is seen as the date creation came into being, or because it was believed that great men died on the same day that they were either born or conceived. The theory that Sextus Africanus chose this date because he believed Jesus was conceived on the 25th of March, spring equinox, and the date when creation came into being, is rather compelling. Was Jesus actually conceived, or did creation actually begin on that date? No, but sources do confirm that Africanus believed it and so chose the 25th of December. However, that's probably not why it became the popular date. Africanus's influence was not big enough to make the 25th the standard. People throughout the 3rd century after Africanus continued to either not celebrate Christmas or celebrated it at different times. Clement of Alexandria said that some celebrated it on April, May, or even August. It was only with Constantine in 336 that the 25th of December became the standard date, and the reason for that date does not seem to have anything to do with Africanus or Africanus's theories, but rather to line it up with other festivals that were being celebrated on winter solstice. But I'd also suggest that we just don't really know. There is not enough evidence to come to a firm conclusion about why we celebrate Christmas on the 25th of December. In reality, it seems there were lots of influences upon that date. Political, theological, social. That's how traditions develop, organically, interacting with culture and the day-to-day, on-the-ground practices of people. Did the church try to replace a pagan practice with a Christian one to rid the world of paganism? No, that's absolutely not what happened. That's a common criticism of the Christian practice of Christmas, an example of the colonial and imperial nature of the church. The church has behaved poorly at some points in history, but this is not one of those moments. It seems more likely to me that Constantine was incorporating this Christian festival into the broader religious life of the Greco-Roman world. And then as Christianity grew in popularity over the next couple of centuries, pagan practices dropped away until it basically disappeared from urban centres in the 6th century, and Christmas was the reigning festival of winter solstice, and has stayed on that date ever since. But does it really matter what day Christmas is actually celebrated? I don't think so. It's kind of nice being at the end of the year, and if it was in March or April, that would be too close to Easter. And there's no real reason for the 25th not to be Christmas. Unless you're Orthodox and you follow the Julian calendar, or you don't celebrate it at all, like the Jehovah's Witnesses who claim that Christmas, along with Easter, are rooted in pagan festivals. And as we've discussed, that is not exactly true. But it's also not exactly not true. This is how all traditions develop, religious or not, Christian or not. They are cultural expressions of what we value. The traditions that have developed around Christmas are a mesh of culture and belief. And as culture has influenced tradition, so tradition has influenced culture. If the 25th was chosen because it lined up with pagan tradition, so be it. It takes nothing away from Christmas. And I don't think anyone really celebrates Sol Invictus anymore anyway. We choose to celebrate, remember, commemorate those special occasions in ways that make sense and have meaning and symbolism and significance to us, because we are human and our celebrations, like Christmas, are human. And you could say, from a certain perspective, that Christmas is not just a human celebration, but a celebration of humanity, in that it marks the day that God became human, thereby elevating humanity. Christmas is about the synthesis of the sacred and the mundane, the divine and the human. So it's not surprising that we would incorporate human ways of celebrating this event. And so we celebrate it on the 25th of December, according to the Gregorian calendar or the revised Julian calendar. So I hope you enjoyed this episode and all the calendar talk, the penultimate episode of 2023. Next week, we'll be finishing off the year by looking at this claim that God became human, the incarnation. I hope you've had a wonderful Advent season so far. I hope you've hung your greens and have set up 12 magi in your nativity scenes. And maybe one of them is black. That will make sense if you listen to the episode on the magi. There's only 2 weeks left until Christmas. Your Christmas present to me could be leaving a review or a rating. Unless you're my wife, then you have to get me a real present as well. This episode was recorded on the traditional lands of the Whadjuk Noongar people. I look forward to examining more isms and schisms with you.